What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 499, and across the screen from me is my trusty co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. 499. One more.
499. And we're doing it on a Friday.
Yeah. A little different this week.
Yeah. We've gone from Wednesdays to Tuesdays.
To a Friday.
So we're all over the place. But happy Friday to everybody out there. We have a lot to talk about this week. But before we get to that, this week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at MSI and their A1250GS PCIe power supply. And this thing is really awesome. This is an 80 plus gold rated power supply, fully modular, as you can see. And the thing I really like about it, especially because we're in the price crunch, which we're going to be talking about on this episode, is that for an 80 plus gold rated power supply, it has a 10 year warranty. So this can last you multiple builds, or if you're holding onto that build for a while because prices are crazy, you won't have to worry about anything if anything happens to the power supply, which it probably won't, but you have that peace of mind because it does have that 10 year warranty. Dual native connectors here. So your 12v2x6s, you get two of them. If you did want to run two graphics cards, if you were doing AI or something like that, you can definitely go ahead and do that. Really like this power supply. I have one here, and I really like the connectors on this as well. They are fully individually sleeved cables, which, and once you see them, you're like, I can't go back to those flat cables. I can't do that anymore. So individually sleeved cables on this too, which is really, really nice. So if you guys do want to learn more, you can go to thinkcomputers.org/A1250GS and learn a lot more about that power supply and pick one up. Because like I said, 10-year warranty, definitely can't beat that. Now, on this week's episode, we have a lot to talk about. I reviewed the first Noctua case, or sort of the first sort of. To a case. I reviewed a MSI AIO. So I took over Ryan's job to take a look at an MSI AIO. So, and it's kind of interesting because they essentially made the same one that Ryan reviewed in 2025, but it's less expensive. So we'll talk about why and if they did the right thing there. We have Lenovo's Project Swan, which is a ThinkBook that it has a rollable OLED that goes like this. We saw a Lenovo Legion laptop that did that earlier this year at CES, but now they're going to bring it to the ThinkBook line, which actually kind of makes more sense as far as sales go. So we have that. We have open source mouse software, which is supposedly going to work with every mouse out there, so you don't have to download like bloated software for your mouse to configure and everything like that. Really interesting project, and it is open source, which is really, really cool. New Razer Naga V3 Pro. We'll talk about MMO mice, and maybe we both have used those in the past. Noctua did something really interesting, and they actually tested a lot of cases. You know, cases have like specifications for CPU coolers. They found that a lot of case manufacturers list these wrong. So they list,
just like, get your ruler out. How hard can this be, right?
They got the ruler out and they did that, which is really cool. And for you, Ryan, Keychron released a 100 key macro pad. So say goodbye to your Stream Deck. This has 100 keys on it.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. So, and a lot of other stuff that we're going to be talking about this week as well. If you did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about. So if you did want to click through or get more information, it is all right here on the page. So all the links. So if you hear about something and you want to click through with us, or if you're listening later and you want more information, everything is right here. So we'll first start with that Noctua case, but it's actually a Antec case. So Antec partnered with Noctua to give us a Flux Pro Noctua edition. So their Flux Pro was like a tried and true case that Antec released. And you know what's crazy is that I haven't reviewed an Antec product.
Oh, who knows how long?
I mean,
they've come back the last couple of years, but it's like they used to be the biggest.
Yeah, they used to be. Antec was, I mean, it's probably been maybe 10 years since I reviewed an Antec product. So this was a good refresher for me for an Antec product. But on top of that, this is a Noctuified Antec product. So essentially what they've done is they've taken their Flux Pro, which is a very nice high airflow case. They've added 6 Noctua fans, a Noctua fan controller, and some Noctua colors to make it like the, like if you're a Noctua person, you want to do a Noctua build, this is the case that you're going to want to do it in, unless you're going to paint your own case and kind of do it that way. So it does come with a price premium. It's $400. The Flux Pro is about $180. So that is a lot more expensive, but just the fans, the fan hub and everything would be over $200 by itself. So it makes sense. But here's what you kind of get with this. One I thought was super cool. It's kind of hard to see. Why are my pictures not working? All right. Well, there we go. So you get a really cool, actually, do I have it here? I thought I had it on this desk. Oh, I do have it. You get a really cool, this is one of the only ways you'll get one of these. You get a really cool Noctua keychain, which is a,
that is pretty sweet,
a fan. So you get that, which I thought was super cool. But beyond that, this is going to ship with 6 fans, 4 140 millimeter fans, 2 120s. You also get all of their mounting parts. So the fans actually ship with their rubber screw mounts if you want to use those. But you do get that as well. You also get the fan controller, which is pre-installed in the case. And then there's extension cables that run off of the fan controller. So essentially when you install the fans, you just kind of have to connect them to those extensions. It does make the installation easier. I do wish the fans were pre-installed though. And if we take a look at the case here, this is actually technically a full tower case. So even though it's not necessarily like a massive case, it is full tower because it does have 8 expansion slots. So if you were running, you know, a larger motherboard and wanted access to that bottom PCIe slot for a graphics card, it would actually work. But you can see sort of the Noctua color. So you have this on the normal case is black. So this is kind of Noctua color. Now, the normal Flux Pro does have this wood accent around the front. But on this version of the case, you can see that there is an Antec X Noctua on the side. So you do get that there as well. But super high airflow in the front of the case. And again, this case ships with no fans installed, but the front of the case does support 3 140 millimeter fans or 360 millimeter radiators. Top of the case has that Noctua brown here as well, Noctua logo there. And then the top of the case also features a cooling bracket here that also will support a 360 millimeter radiator there as well. And the side of the case has Noctua logo here. And again, you can see that brown. And as we get to the inside, you'll also see that we have Noctua kind of brown on the, you know, where you organize all of your cabling and everything like that. So that's kind of how they sort of Noctuified the case as far as looks and everything like that. This will support micro ATX, ATX, and extended ATX motherboards. No back connect support though, which was kind of a bummer. So you can see there's no holes or anything like that for back connect motherboards. So that was a bit of a bummer there. Here's that fan controller, and you can see that the extensions are already connected to it. So everything actually is kind of run for you. So when you do your installation, it is really easy. We have full-size hard drive mounts here, which also support 2.5-inch. And then you're also going to get 2 2.5-inch SSD mounts here. And then you get one more cage at the bottom that, again, supports a 2.5 and a 3.5. So I believe this supports 6 hard drives out of the box, which is pretty good, especially considering the placement and where everything is. So 6 hard drives out of the box, which is really awesome. Now, the power supply is really interesting because the where you connect power to your power supply is actually over here, and then the back of your power supply mounts over here, over here. And you'll see it in the installation. It is rather interesting. So I really did like that. When we get into the installation, first thing, of course, you have to mount all your fans. So I decided to mount my fans, you know, these brackets, the power supply bracket and the front bracket are fully removable, making it really easy to install everything. I installed the two 120s there, the three 140s in the front, and you can see those, you know, got installed. And then I installed the last 140 in the back of the case. And that's their, like, they tell you this is where they want the fans. Like, okay, this is how they should be installed. And that's where all of the extensions are run to. So if you install them somewhere else, you're going to have to reroute those extensions. But you can see, like, the extensions come down so you can connect your fans really easily. And the extensions, like, come over so you can connect that rear fan. It makes it really easy. And you can see installation is incredibly easy. There's a lot of room to work with inside of this case. Now, when it comes to that power supply, so you take this power extension and you kind of run it out the side of the case, or this would be like the main side panel, and then you connect it like that. So that connects to the back of the case. And then on the opposite side, all of your cabling comes out sideways. I like that. And I really like this because I know you, Ryan, and I know I've done this so many times where it's like you have a system, you've built it, and then you're like, oh, I need to add a hard drive, or I need to add something. I need to go get one of my modular cables, and then I have to try and get in there and connect it. Oh, it's a pain. So having this side mounted is amazing. I really, really like that they've done this. And I don't know if Antec does this on all of their cases, but this placement I love, especially for modular power supplies, because again, it just makes it so easy to connect or disconnect cables if you're adding, you know, more hardware. It just makes it so easy. So I really like that. You can see there are cable, there's this main cable channel with all of these tie downs, makes kind of organizing everything incredibly easy. There's also tie downs over here on this side. So there's everything kind of all wired up really easy. And again, with these hard drive kind of cages taking up most of the space, you still have, again, a lot of room in here to route cables. Just makes it really, really easy. And you can see, again, a closer look at everything. And graphics card, you have support for super long graphics cards. You don't have to worry about that. And here's what our kind of final build looks like. There is, you know, because there's just like a lot of dead space here. We've talked about that on cases in the past. But again, if you're looking for like that knock to a case, this is going to be it. And again, you're going to get better fans than what ship with this. I think the big issue with this case is that price. The price is justified because, again, those fans cost so much.
Yeah.
But Antec sells a Flux Pro for about $180 with four included fans, three in the front and one in the back.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
Yeah, that's a tough sell. There is also this little display, which at this point in time feels archaic. It's just a digital display for your CPU and your GPU. It's just old. It just seems old in the time of, you know, LCD displays and everything else. This just seems, but like I said, our build looks great. You have great acoustics and great thermals. Do you want to spend $400 on a case?
Unless you're doing maybe like an all Noctua build, right?
Yeah.
One of those RTX cards and I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you could do the Noctua Asus card in here. You could do like the Gigabyte wood themed motherboard. There's Noctua still room to add. Yeah. You could do a Noctua AIO or Noctua tower cooler. There's still room to add more fans. I mean, if you wanted the most Noctua out case, you could definitely do that, right? It's just a hard sell at that price. And the Flux Pro is, well, when I wrote the review, is $149. It is $149, and it comes with, you know, four fans, three in the front, one in the back. Those fans aren't as good as the Noctua fans, obviously, right, but for most people, Like I said, unless you're a Noctua fanboy, it's kind of a hard sell. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Again, you get six fans, which are worth over $200 on their own. Amazing airflow. That Noctua aesthetic, you're not going to get that with other cases because those other cases aren't that brown color. Supports EATX motherboards, graphics cards up to 455 millimeters, and of course, tall CPU coolers up to 190 millimeters. And the fan hub is pre-installed, which is really nice. And those extensions are run. Again, the biggest con is the price. There's no GPU support bracket, no back connect motherboard support. The digital display does seem a bit dated. And just like Ryan is not a fan of the Noctua colors. Not everybody's going to like the Noctua colors. So like I said, I think this is just a niche product for Noctua fans. And if you're that ultimate Noctua fan, this is the case that you'll spend that money on. Most people, you can just get the normal Flux Pro and be very happy with it. So yeah.
I do like seeing these collabs. And I like seeing I like seeing Antech back in the game as well.
Oh yeah, and it was good to get a look at an Antech, like have some time, like we've seen Antech cases and stuff like that, but to actually spend time and build in it and things like that, I really did like that. Moving on from there, I took a look at MSI's brand new MPG Core Liquid P22360. And in 2025, Ryan took a look at their P13, which I got to see like that earlier in the year at Computex before Ryan reviewed it. And it was a very sleek looking cooler, like IPS display. It had that sort of domed kind of crystallized top on the screen for the AIO. Like it was a really nice cooler. And essentially what they've done is they've made it less, they've made a cooler that looks very much the same, but it's a less expensive. So this is launching at $129. So a 360 millimeter AIO with a screen for $129. I think
that's pretty good.
So that has to come with some caveats compared to the P13, sure, which was, I think, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that. I think it launched at like 189.
Probably.
To come down from there to 129, there are some caveats. So first, the display itself is an LCD. It's not IPS. It is a 540 by 540 LCD display, but it's an LCD, not an IPS. It doesn't have that domed cover, that kind of crystallized cover, which really gave it that sleek look. The fans are Psychoblade 7s, not Psychoblade 9s from MSI. So their stats just aren't as good as the Psychoblade 9s. They're just, you know, they're just a little bit different, but they are ARGB fans. The cabling coming out of the pump block itself does not go into the tubing like it did on the P13. So you can see my cabling going up here and the one going down here. So you have that. It does have essentially the same radiator. And they have made some improvements to the actual the block to make it more efficient for AMD processors. So that's kind of what they've taken out or what they've changed to make it more affordable.
Sure.
But I really like what MSI has done here. And some other things to point out. Your fans do come pre-attached. It's one of the things I really like to see these days when it comes to AIOs.
Yep.
And they're pre-wired. It is a proprietary connector, but they are pre-wired. They're not the ones that snap together. It's not as elegant as that, but it's all pre-wired. It's all good to go. You don't have to do anything if you're installing them in this orientation, which is really, really nice. And you can see that proprietary connector there. You can see the cabling coming out here. Again, it used to go into the sleeving so that the connectors would be out of the way and you wouldn't see them in your build. You're not getting that as much. And you can see the base of the cooler here. No pre-applied thermal paste on this one. So some people hate that or they love it. I don't like pre-applied. I do like it for beginners. And they still have that same universal bracket, which they were one of the first ones to do it with the universal bracket. So you can mount AMD and Intel without having to take the brackets off So I definitely like that there as well. And like installation is incredibly easy. You know, I installed this on an AM5 system. So this is for AMD. You remove your AMD mounting brackets, you put their spacer screws on, and then all you have to do is line up the cooler with those spacers screws and then screw these screws in, and you're essentially good to go. That's all you really have to do. And then after you're done, you put that cover on. So they have this cover that kind of cleans up the cabling. But unfortunately, because you don't have the cabling going into the tubing here, you do have to run one cable to your AIO pump header. And then this cable down here, it's not long enough to go up here and around the back of your motherboard. This is a USB 2.0 header for the screen. Yep. So I had to go out the side of my build.
Stinks.
You know, out the side, around the back, and up the bottom. So that's again for the $129 price, it's okay. You know, it's not the best implementation. Another thing that's different is when you did your review, you could only use the MSI Center software,
right,
to control the screen and everything like that. You can still do that with this, but now they have a standalone app, which they're kind of going the Asus route. When Asus Armory Crate got very bloated, MSI sure. Center has gotten bloated and big. So now they have a standalone app, and I use the standalone app. And essentially, the main screen just shows you all of your system stats and everything. And then on the next screen, you see the display, and there's only four of these little backgrounds that show up on the screen, which is very limited.
Yep.
I would say these are kind of like, this was a blank one. The last three are these animated backgrounds. Very limited, I would say, for a cooler. So you can add your own, which I'll show you. And then on each of these and anything you add, you can display a bunch of system stats that you can turn on and turn off. One thing I really like is you can change the fonts. You can change the color. So like this is white and then this is like that pink. You can change that, which is really nice. And then, of course, you can rotate the orientation if you have this in a certain way in the system, which I like. Now, looking at those, so here's one of them. It does look very good. You can see that, you know. And then I put like a Matrix animated GIF on here. I put like, you know, Think Computers logo. And then I was like I made a video for the Noctua case, and I could put the video on there. It does support most video formats, 500 megabytes total size, but you can just like run a video on here if you want to. Now, the difference between the P13 that you reviewed is that on the P13, you could actually make the display an extended display of your desktop.
Yes.
Whereas on here, at least on the standalone software, you cannot.
Gotcha.
So that, not that that's
like, it's like a super niche case.
Yeah. Like you're not running a little mini, you know, display off of this.
You're not gaming like on that.
No, not at all. Performance wise, it did quite good on our Ryzen 7 9800 X3D. Here's our full system, as you can see. And it did quite well. And the way that I'm kind of doing these reviews as far as AIOs is we're going to run it at PWM because I feel like that's how most people will run it. Then I'm going to run the fans at 50% speed and 100% speed. And I know Ryan was doing set RPM levels. And I think because each AIO offers different RPM levels, running it at 50% and running it at 100% will give you a good idea of if it's even worth running it at a set RPM or not,
right.
You know what I mean? So you can see, you know, I'm running this like at idle. If you're running 100% speed, it's like a degree difference. You do see a little bit of difference like at PWM 55, 54 at 50% speed and 51 at 100% speed. And then a little bit different at PWM, you know, 64 at, you know, our crazy 100% load, the biggest load on the CPU, at running them at 50% speed at 66 and at 63. So if you're somebody who doesn't like a lot of noise, you don't want PWM kicking those fans up like crazy, you could actually run them at 50% speed, which I think is like 1200 RPM, not that loud, and you'd still get pretty respectable results. As far as that. And then our noise levels, again, you can see pretty much what you would kind of expect from running the fans that way. Obviously, this is my first AIO, so we'll have comparisons as we get more AIOs into review. But yeah, like I said, it was a good cooler overall. I like the results. Very easy to install. No real issues. You just have to think, again, for $129,
it's a pretty good deal.
You're getting a 360 millimeter AIO with a screen that is not just a screen that just like displays stats. Like you can put movies on there. You can, you know, put GIFs. Like you can change. You can really fully customize it. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Good performance. The price is good. Easy to install. I like the standalone app over MSI Center. And the fans come pre-installed and wired, so you don't have to do any of that. Con, and Ryan, this was a con of yours too. For some reason, MSI is not including physical installation guides. Yeah. There's a QR code on the box that you could, you know, get. But I just like my physical.
If I remember, like, yeah, like there's a code there, but it's not like, I don't know, it's discreetly placed, so you have to kind of hunt for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I can respect like trying to not use as much paper or whatever, but
yeah,
it's kind of a pain.
Yeah, I like a physical manual. It's obviously not as visually appealing as the P13. You can't extend, this is very niche, but you can't extend your display onto the actual display in the software. And of course, the cabling is not routed into the sleeving. I think for $130 though, like you can't really go wrong with this cooler. And with the prices, as we're going to be talking about, of every other piece of hardware in your system essentially going up,
yep.
having something at this price is a good thing. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of this going when it comes to like cases and coolers and things. We're going to see some pretty good prices because these companies know that people aren't building new PCs right now, so they need to sell these products. So I really like the price on this. Yep. And they essentially made the same cooler, just a little bit different. So yeah, so I like it. So check out that review if you are interested. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And since it's Friday, we have a brand new one. And this is from AK Mod. And this is their, or this is his DF Frontier Prime. And this one was a Computex build done for Dark Flash. And it, again, it's just like, I feel like he just like builds these things that look like they're out of a movie.
Yep.
You know,
every time.
It's so impressive. The thing I like about this one is that it's not liquid cooled. You know?
Oh, I mean, well, the CPU is.
Like, it's not custom liquid cooled.
Right. Yeah. Just like AI.
Yeah. So it's using an AIO. And obviously, the graphics card's not liquid cooled. And
I like how he routed those tubes for the AIO, though. I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah. Up and over. That's nice.
Yeah, I do like that a lot. But yeah, just like how he changed their case around and like modified their case to look like this kind of futuristic thing, I think is just, yeah. Attention to detail, always so good with him. Yeah, it looks.
Yeah, this is pretty sweet.
Yeah, it looks like something out of a movie. So I really like that. So shout out to AK Mod for another one. And he has so many that were at Computex. I'm like, I can't feature him every week, but these are just like so good.
Yeah.
All of them are so good. So shout out to him for that one. And of course, as I always say, if you want to check out Case Mods, you're into Case Mods, you want to see, you know, what you can build, you go on the website, go to articles, Case Mod Friday. And then there's so many, and we didn't cover the one because from last week, we didn't cover it. Yeah, no. This one was also at Computex, and this one is themed after the Sentinel from The Matrix. And like the attention to detail on this one was crazy. It's crazy. It really looks
really
like
big too. It looks
yeah, like it's pretty big.
Large.
Yeah. Yeah. Like look at that. Like how crazy is that? And that's a PC too. But yeah, that one was amazing. And I really like the work that he did on the Yeah, on the graphics card too. So these, yeah, just, and you can see that in there. Just really, really cool build there as well. But like I said, there's so many on the site that you can just like scroll through and just check out Case Mods for years that we've featured. So definitely go ahead and do that if you are interested. And we'll move on to news. And it's bleak out there, man, when it comes to graphics cards right now.
Not just graphics cards, but yes.
Right, yeah. So we'll talk about graphics cards. If you're on the workstation or enterprise side of things,
whew,
NVIDIA's 96 gigabyte RTX Pro 6000 is now up to $16,000. Obviously, that has a lot to do with the 96 gigabytes of VRAM on it. But it launched for half of that, which is always super expensive, but again, it's a workstation GPU, makes sense.
Yeah.
96 gig, you know, but it launched for half that and now it's double the price. And it is definitely tough sledding for, you know, we think of us as consumers, but like, imagine you're a business and you got to buy new workstations right now.
Yeah. It's like, okay, if this thing's got to cost this much, like make some tweaks to the damn thing. So I'm at least getting something other than a higher price, you know, like,
the question of the week is gonna
I know
talk about
some I know stuff. but yeah. Yeah, it's like give me some extra, you know, clock on this thing or some extra power, you know, something. I don't know,
it's just the cost of VRAM, and I know, you know, again, especially when it comes to enterprise, they can kind of just do this, they can kind of be like, well, whatever, you're gonna pay it. So
yeah,
but yeah, so that's on the workstation and enterprise side of things. On the consumer side of things, RTX 50 series prices have spiked quite a lot as well. And we have some pretty good comparisons. So we'll go through them. RTX 5050 in June was $299.99. It went up to $314.99. So not that much, about a 5% change. RTX 5060 was $369.99. Now it's $469.99. So that is one of the highest. That's 27% change in just a month. RTX 5060 Ti 8 gig went from $469.99 to $529.99. That's a 13% change. The biggest one, which makes sense because of the VRAM, the RTX 5060 Ti 16 gig went from $569.99 to $804.99 for a 5060. That's a 39% change. The 5070 is also one of the ones that went up a lot. It went from $659.99 to $899.99. That's a 36% change. The 5070 Ti is staying. It hasn't changed.
Zero.
It is $1,099, and it's stayed there at least currently. 5080 is $1,461.99. It went to $1,499. So 3% change. And then the 5090 went from $4,299 to $4,699. So 9% change there. Obviously, you can see that the really in-demand cards are the 5070 and the 5060s because of cost and everything like that. Man, I just don't see how we're going to get either a refresh or an RTX 60 series at respectable prices right now. Just don't
see
it.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now these are these what they're selling for at retailers? This isn't like NVIDIA pricing, is it?
This is what they're selling for at retailers.
Okay.
So like, you know, this is based on availability of like a 5060, you know,
I mean, sure, NVIDIA can come out with a 60 series at certain prices, but it doesn't mean they're going to sell it that, you know what I mean? I hate this. And that much of a jump in a month is crazy. What, 39% on the 16 gig 60 Ti? $805 for that card.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So, you know, it's just crazy, the prices. And I don't see it changing anytime soon. So these prices could get worse. We're obviously tracking all this stuff too. So definitely stay tuned and we'll, you know, keep you updated as prices continue to fluctuate. Hopefully, yeah. You know how we said, like, you know, when NVIDIA upped the prices a little bit Was it the 40 series or the 30 series? Like, we went from like a 60 series card costing like this much, and it went up to like this much, and you're like, oh, will it ever go down again? And, you know, we were at the time we talked about, now it's like, now we're at this such an extreme where it's like the brands are going to see that consumers still going to pay for it. So they're like, oh, well, you know, a 60 series is now going to be $800.
Yeah.
Remember, it wasn't that.
What are you going to do about it?
Wasn't that 60 series like 250 or 249? Probably. You know, like the 20 or 30 series, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like we've exponentially gone up kind of like crazy.
My 50 or my 2070 Super when I bought it was 529.
Okay. Yeah. So like a 2060 would be like 300.
Three something probably.
Yeah. Let's look at this. RTX 2060 launch price. $349.
Okay.
Yeah. So now with inflated prices and everything, and if you look at this, just like a stock. Oh wait, hold on, let me go back into the article. So a stock. Let's see here. The stock 5060 is $469, right?
Yep.
And then like say like a 16 gig card now. Oh man. I don't know how we come back from that. You know?
May not.
That's what I mean. That's a kind of scary part. But talking about something, you know. So many people right now, because of the cost of new cards and new hardware, especially when it comes to like DDR5, a lot of people are building older systems with older hardware. It makes sense, right?
Yep.
And it looks like there's some brands trying to capitalize on that. We've seen multiple motherboard brands come out with new motherboards based on older chipsets. Well, Gigabyte has released two motherboards based on AMD's B450 chipset, which launched 8 years ago. The B450 chipset launched eight years ago. And this isn't long. Yeah, AM4, not AM5. And this is, you know, going to give you kind of a newer, semi-new feature set with Wi-Fi 6E on there. DDR4 support, so you don't have to worry about buying the more expensive DDR5. So this is the B450M D3HP and the B450M D3HP Wi-Fi 6E. So the only difference is one has Wi-Fi, one doesn't. But you're going to see this because, again, these motherboard manufacturers need to sell products, and kind of coming out with a newer board with a little bit newer feature set for a lower cost build just makes sense for them. You know,
so yeah, I mean, you can still access, you know, they didn't refresh, but like the 5800X 3D, right? They kind of brought that back around, so you can still slot that into this board. And like you said, get yourself some DDR4 and get to it.
Yeah, you're gonna see a lot of this, I think. You know, getting away from DDR5 is going to be a selling point moving forward just because of how expensive it is. Talking about that, we have seen, so Apple released their Neo laptop, and that currently shook things up because is it $499 starting price? Was it?
Well, I thought it was. Yeah.
So, you know, and then you saw very affordable, you know, some affordable models coming from Lenovo and Dell. And now it looks like Qualcomm is coming out with a Snapdragon C, which would, again, this is their Windows on ARM product. Around $300, you could, you know, they're going to have some starting at $300 laptops based on this product. And they did provide some specifications. It's an 8-core CPU, long battery life, comes with Wi-Fi 6 or 6E and Bluetooth. And if you look at the comparisons compared to the Intel N250, which again, that's your very super low cost laptop. You can see the performance here is a lot better.
Quite a bit better, yeah.
Yeah. And again, unplugged performance, you know, battery performance and things like that. I like this. I like that. And again, I think we're going to see a lot of this, the lower cost entry into either laptops or other hardware, because of the fact that everything else based around this is getting more expensive, right? And because AI is snatching up all of the memory, all the copper, all the things, we're going to see a lot more of this. So I'm a big fan of this. I'm definitely a big fan of lower cost entry into either a laptop or a PC. So pretty cool to see that. It would be cool to see what brands come out with, you know, devices based on this chip. So we'll definitely see that in the future. Now, if you are going to be buying a new Intel processor or Intel mobile gaming console, there's a new bundle. We haven't talked about a gaming bundle in a while.
Oh, we haven't.
So Intel, to celebrate their gamer days, is giving away the Tomb Raider Legacy of Atlantis and Star Wars Galactic Racer. I've been wanting to... This Galactic Racer game actually looked really good. So you're going to get those, and combined they're worth $120. So from the Intel 14th gen and Core Ultra CPUs, Arc A series, B series, and G3 GPUs, select laptops, and handhelds. And we have a full list of everything that qualifies, here, and Intel does as well. But yeah, like, if you're buying one of these, get two free games that you can play. So we're always a big fan of the...
Is that game out yet, the Galactic Racer? I don't think it's out.
I don't think it's out
yet. Yeah, it isn't.
I'm not sure. It looked really good when I think we talked about it when it was announced. It did look really good. But yeah, if you're buying a, you know, a desktop or a laptop with an Intel chip in it, check this list because you'll be able to pick up two free games. And we have the link down here where you can redeem it and get your free games. So definitely a fan.
Free games are always good.
Yeah, definitely a fan of that. Moving on from there, I talked about this when we started the podcast, but so many times especially if you're doing small form factor, it is like a lot of small form factor, but you know, you're looking to buy a PC case and you're like, I have this big Noctua cooler. Will it fit?
Yep.
And the case manufacturer lists maybe 165 millimeters for the CPU cooler, you know, some like that Antec case lists 190. Well, Noctua did some testing of their own and found out that a lot of these are wrong. A lot of the case manufacturers are wrong. So they measured over 100 PC cases and 56 of them are actually wrong from the official CPU cooler clearance specifications. Some are wrong listing it too low. Some are low. Right. Some are wrong listing it too high. So like the NZXT H2 Flow, it lists CPU cooler clearance of 75 millimeters, but it actually fits up to 79 millimeters. Corsair Frame 4000D lists at 170 millimeters, but it actually fits up to 180 millimeters. The Lian Li B4 Micro ATX lists 168 millimeters, but it actually can only fit 164.5 millimeters. And again, the reason they're doing this is because if cases are wrong and, you know, they actually have more space, that allows them to fit a larger Noctua cooler in there. And, you know, they don't want a consumer saying, I really want this case and I really want this Noctua cooler, but I'll go with a different cooler because it lists the specifications are listed wrong. You know,
I mean, I don't know how much more cooling you're getting out of one, like, cause their findings were like up to 10 millimeters of like variance, right? 1 centimeter is like, you're not going to get that much more but you might, you know.
Well, it's not about the cooling. It's just that, like,
I agree. Yeah. Like, you should be able to, like, it shouldn't be hard to measure this.
Yeah. And, like, it's also, you know, again, if I have, so, like, say if I have a Noctua cooler that's 150 millimeters tall, and I really want this cooler, and I want to use this Noctua cooler, but then the case, say, like an NZXT case says, oh, we only fit coolers up to, you know, 140, but it actually fits 147. I don't buy the cooler. That hurts the Noctua sales. You know what I mean? So it's good that they're doing this. I really like that they're actually coming up with this, you know,
I wonder if any of them that are like oversized, like they overcompensated, did it on purpose to like give you a little wiggle room in there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the better, obviously, than being smaller than what you say.
Yeah. So like I said, they have everything up on the website where you can see what will actually fit in certain cases, and then it lists their models and then which ones will actually fit.
That's cool.
Which is really cool. So if you are looking at a Noctua cooler, they've done all that. So I really like that they've done that. So you have a Stream Deck and you use it, right? You know, and that's essentially like a little macro pad that you can put shortcuts on and everything. And, you know, how many keys are on your Stream Deck?
15, I think. Yeah.
And 15. They make a bigger one, right?
Yeah, they have an XL. And
yeah, they have like an XL. They
have even more, yeah.
Well, Keychron decided, hey, we're going to make a macro pad. And we're going to put 100 damn keys on it.
Like,
and I like, you know, you want to think that, I guess you could make them different colors.
More has got to be better, right?
What?
But I say more has to be better, right? But maybe 100's too many.
Well, that and like, how do you... Okay, so like with the Stream Deck, you can put little icons to tell you what each thing does. If I have 100 keys, I have no clue what...
Does this not have a screen under it? It's
no,
just...
No, it's just...
Because I saw this and just kind of laughed and didn't actually read it.
No.
Oh, they're just switches. What the heck?
They're just switches. So you can obviously, there's per key RGB lighting. You can make them different colors. But like, okay, so these are all my yellow keys, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do I know that's the difficult part for me. It's kind of
even
fun,
if though. Even if they did have screens, though, like hunting and finding what you need is going to be tough.
Yeah,
I think if you're doing it so that you got to do something real fast.
But yeah, let's see if.
I wonder, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's
$65. It's cheaper than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, $65. Yeah, so they're just like again. Yeah, but it's
you like deploy this to somebody at work. You're like, all right. That like a new employee and they just show up to work and they have this 10x10 keyboard, but you swap out the key caps so that it's actually like has the full alphabet, but they're like arranged weird and
yeah,
just mess with them.
Yeah. That's just kind of funny, but yeah, it's not that expensive, but I just see like, if you're going to use a macro pad, even if you have a lot like Stream Deck and you could hit like next and like you'd still
get a whole new set of buttons.
Yeah, you could probably still find it faster, I think. But yeah, really kind of funny that they put that out. We have Gadget Joe. Joe, good to see you. You're in the UK, I believe. But good to see you here on the live stream. I just don't think I could hunt through 100 keys to find that. I'm talking about a lot of keys and a lot of keys on a mouse. Razer just released their brand new Naga V3 Pro. This is their new MMO mouse. You've used an MMO mouse in the past, right?
Yep.
So have I. I used a Corsair one. And when I was actually playing MMOs, very helpful. Having 12 keys on the side is great. Yes. These are the ring finger button, buttons up here. So you have like, I mean, so many combinations. The cool thing about this one is that it does come with multiple side pieces. So you could just do like the normal two buttons. You can do a six button layout, and then you can do the 12 button layout. How many side buttons did the one you use have?
9, maybe? Yeah. Like a 3x3 grid, I think.
Damn. Yeah. I forget how many mine had. Mine was a Corsair one, but it was useful when I was playing MMOs.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Gadget Joe
says, I like that you can swap it though. Like,
yeah. Being able to swap
one for an FPS, like that first one there with the two thumb buttons. Cause
yeah,
I utilize those in FPS and then yeah, this is cool. Yeah. 2:20 AM.
It's 2:20 AM. Well, thanks for staying up to watch the podcast. Yeah. We definitely appreciate it. And then congrats. He just hit 10,000. Was it 10,000? Subscribers on his YouTube.
Sweet.
So check out his YouTube, guys. I believe he just hit 10,000. So at least, well, within like the last couple of months he did. So congrats to you, Joe, on that. That's awesome. But yeah, I like that you can swap these out. Like if you're playing FPS or you don't need 12, yep, maybe you need 6. That's awesome. So I really like that. What are they pricing this one at? $179.99. Yeah. 8K wireless, 50,000 DPI sensor. Yeah, 23 programmable buttons, which is crazy.
Good Lord.
Yeah, like it. Yeah. But yeah, okay. Really cool. Yeah. For that one, what else do we have here this week? Okay, so earlier this year at CES, saw a Lenovo laptop, a Lenovo Legion laptop that, you know, like a laptop, you open it up and then there's a screen. And then you press a button and it's a rollable OLED and you went from like a normal laptop screen to like a more kind of ultra wide format, right? And which is excellent for gaming, right? It's really excellent for gaming, but also like having a wider screen is definitely better for productivity. Sure. Well, Windows latest post these renders of what apparently is being called Project Swan over at Lenovo. And they're going to take that same tech and put it into a ThinkBook OLED, and the ThinkBook was the first laptop that they did the rollable that went up, so it gave you a longer screen. So now this one's going to be a wider screen. So if you look at this, you know, you're going to go from this kind of form factor and it's going to open up. I love this because I like multitasking. I like having multiple windows open at one time. I mean, even that's why I have a 49-inch monitor, is because I like having multiple windows open. Yeah. So getting that in a laptop, and again, where like I don't need to have that external monitor and stuff like that, I do like this.
I think if you're that traveler, especially if you're like flying a lot and need to be productive during that time, this is going to be a pretty sweet setup for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, I like this. Cost is going to be up there. It's going to be an OLED. Rollable OLED tech is not necessarily cheap. You know, and again, the one that we saw, the Legion one did have some issues with the rollable in that mechanism. I assume they've refined it a lot since January, but yeah, this makes so much sense when it comes to productivity. Just even like a split screen down here would just be great. So yeah, I'm sure we'll see more of this or more about this as we get closer towards the end of the year. And I assume we're going to see this at CES in January. So that will be really cool to take a look at here as well. So yeah, super excited. I love stuff like this. Like I feel like, and it's so weird because you would think you would see something like that from like just like some gaming company or like,
right, but you know, yeah, Lenovo.
Yeah, like Lenovo has really been on the forefront of like that rollable OLED tech.
Yeah.
And I like it. It's expensive. It's not for everybody, but it's cool that they're doing that because once they figure these things out and make it more accessible to more people, it's going to become more affordable. And then you're going to see this a lot more. So I really like that. So now there's, you know, when you get a mouse, you get a gaming mouse, like, you know, any gaming mouse.
Yep.
And you can use it most of the time out of the box. But if you need to program it, you have to download some type of software. And for some companies, the software is good. Some companies, software is bad. Sometimes software is bloated, has a bunch of crap in it. It doesn't work well. So, and sometimes there's no software. Sometimes there's no
true
software. So this new open source control panel for gaming mice called Open Mouse is it's not available yet. But it's all going to be done through web browser, which we've seen so many companies move their software from on your computer to the web browser, which I love. That way you don't have something on your running in the background and your system hogging resources. And you can go on any computer anywhere and configure your mouse or whatever you need to do. So this is going to run in the browser, and it's going to essentially, I guess, work with any gaming mouse, and you can change settings. You can do everything. I don't know how much device information you're going to be able to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm really curious how this is
and gonna like how they're going to get work. Access to that.
And right, it's not like locked down by.
Yeah, I don't know. But I like the idea of this. I like the idea of open source. And if this becomes popular, it's like, oh, you know, our mouse, you can use our software, but it also works with open mouse, right?
Yeah. I mean, how long before it's like you just go to whatever, you know, website and it's like, okay, you want your mouse, your keyboard? How about change the color of your LEDs on your RAM?
Yeah.
Or throw something different on the screen of your LCD on your cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea of this. It does look clean. Like, this looks clean
too. Yeah, it does look pretty modern.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like there are some companies that do software really good, or even like the web-based software really good, and then sometimes it just is really bad, or sometimes it gets bloated and it doesn't work right. Having something that's open source that, you know, and again, like it being open source, like people can make like add-ons for it or other things or whatever. Or even if, again, OpenMouse can partner with like a Logitech and like, you know, here's settings that we have locked down now that, you know, we're working with OpenMouse so that these settings are available to you or whatever. You know what I mean? So I think it's really cool. We'll keep you updated on that there as well. GeForce Now, which of course is the streaming platform for gaming. So You have a laptop, you have a tablet. I guess you can do it on the phone too, right?
I think so.
You log into GeForce Now and you essentially use cloud-based graphics cards to play games. And this has been around for quite a while on Windows, and it's now available on Linux. So the client was in beta for quite a while on Linux. It is now official and you can get it. So if you are running a Linux machine and you have GeForce Now, or you want to take advantage of GeForce Now, you can go ahead and do that. So yeah,
cool.
I like that. It's definitely more availability in other OSs, which is
yeah. Cool. I mean, I think this is going to be maybe become more of an option for some people, especially if we keep seeing these high prices for everything, right? Like, can't afford to upgrade to the 60 series, right? We're talking about earlier in the show, like, what are these prices going to be? What are we going to expect? All right, well, if I can just subscribe to GeForce Now, play the games I want to play at a rate that's maybe a more affordable monthly cost or a 6-month package or something, that may make sense for a lot of people. And then now that it's expanded out to Linux as well, maybe a smart move.
And like a lot of like the mobile gaming consoles and other things do come with like a 3-month trial or whatever of that too. So,
oh man, if you could do GeForce Now to like an older console, like, oh, my Xbox or my PS5, you know, I can't afford the PS6, but here's the app you can run on the PS5 that'll let you.
I'm sure somebody will, you know, that, yeah. Talking about, you know, machines, the Steam machine recently came out, and we talked about a bunch of different mods and things for it. Somebody made this, which I think is super cool.
Yep, saw this too.
So they made a magnetic controller dock. I believe it charges the controller, but it's like the faceplate of the Steam machine, which I thought was super cool. It integrates the Steam controller's charging puck into it. I believe this is just 3D printed or molded.
Like it, yep.
And then there's the charging puck, and it just sits on there, which is really cool. I love stuff like this. I believe this one was on Reddit. Let's see. Yeah, it's on Reddit. You can see how he just implemented it to the front faceplate that's just magnets. And then You know, take in the charging puck with this 90 degree angle type C adapter. Pretty simple to do. Yeah, I love stuff like this. And again, the implementation, like, it looks just pretty cool. You just grab your controller, you're good to go.
Right off the front, yep.
Yeah, you're good to go. And your controller's always charged, which is a big thing, too.
Yeah, you don't lose it. It just snaps on to the front. Yeah, I saw someone water-cooled theirs, too.
I did see that, but it was externally.
Yeah, it looked kind of... Yeah. It looked like old-school water-cooling of PCs, for sure. But
yeah, I did see that one as well. Yeah, so... But I really like this one. Shout out to... Who posted this? Shout out to... Nefariousness hole 125 on Reddit. So yeah, you can see it there in action, which I think is pretty cool. So shout out to him for that one. And then finally, so we talked about this, like, I don't know, was it a couple of months ago? We talked about, like, there was like that big diagram of every iteration of Microsoft 365 Copilot, Microsoft Cope, like how many different versions of Copilot there were.
Yep.
Microsoft is finally going to consolidate all Copilot into one super app.
Okay.
They've already consolidated a lot. So it's going to combine consumer Copilot and Microsoft 360 Copilot under just Microsoft Copilot, which I think makes sense. And that will be for personal work and school accounts. All you can just switch through the accounts on the app, which I think is good. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's all going to run through one big super app that's going to launch at the end of September. So,
okay. We'll see how that goes, I guess.
Yeah, I really like that. I think, you know, I don't like all the different apps, and then you got to have, like, I just want one. Like, we have, like, there's ChatGPT. It's just ChatGPT. There's Claude. There's just Claude. You know what I mean? You don't want Copilot for Excel that's different than Copilot. Like, you just want Copilot.
Right.
I just, you know what I mean? Copilot. Just, yeah. I like that. So, yeah. So, that essentially is news for the week. Coming up next week, not much. New PC case launching next week, which I'll be covering. So stay tuned for that. Also, no podcast next week. Yep. The following week, let's see, that is the 25th. So mark your calendars, the 25th. So far, as long as nothing changes, will be our 500th episode of the podcast. We will be giving away stuff, so keep that in mind. We'll be giving away the most expensive thing right now when it comes to PC. Well, not the most expensive thing, but the thing that has driven up prices of everything. Sure. We'll be giving a kit of that away. We'll say that. Plus some other stuff we'll be giving away. So definitely stay tuned for that. We'll have all the details. If you guys don't follow us on social media, follow us on social media. We'll have all the details and to make sure you like qualify and that you can enter and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have some giveaways for the 500 episodes. That's a lot of episodes.
That is a lot.
So
I was going to go back and look and see how many I've been involved in. I don't remember what,
I don't even remember. It was a while number back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be celebrating the 500th episode of the podcast. So yeah, really excited for that on the 25th. So again, next week, no podcast, 25th. Yeah. 500th episode. So definitely stay tuned for that. And that brings us to the question of the week. And we're talking about, again, the cost of everything going up, especially memory. We're seeing now, like, you know, again, like the MacBook Neo launched with 8 gigs of RAM. We're seeing full built systems with one stick of RAM, right? Do you think, you know, because of all of this, that software and games will be better optimized for use of RAM because of all of this? Do you think that will actually happen?
At first, I was going to say no, but then I slid back to say, well, like, if people can't afford to buy their games or can't run their games, these companies are going to go out of business. So it kind of makes sense for them to try to be more efficient, get more out of the hardware available or that people have, right? Like set your bar at a level that's attainable for most people now, not the next generation of graphics, right? I think it behooves them to be as efficient as possible and slim their code down if they can. How they do it, I don't know.
Well, we've already seen NVIDIA, what is that called? That they were talking about, like it crunches down the shade. We've already seen that. So to be able to use less VRAM when it comes to gaming. And obviously when it comes to like the MacBook Neo, Apple has full control over, you know, they're making the chip and then they have full control over the OS that it's running it, right? So they can fully optimize. I'm just hoping to see this happen more with games and with other things where it's like, yeah, like, you know, you only need 4 gigs of VRAM to run this game, right?
Right. And look good or perform well. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I think it makes sense to Gadget do that.
Said, congrats on upcoming 500 episode. He's going to shoot now. Well, yeah. Always got to shoot content. But thanks for coming in, Gadget Joe. We'll definitely, hopefully you can make it to the 500th episode. Love to see you in here in the live chat for sure for that one. But yeah, I think we will see at least a little bit. And again, on a larger level, like both NVIDIA and AMD are working on these like shader things and things that will allow you to run games with less VRAM and things like that. So
sure. Hopefully
we'll see more of that on a more, again, by the developer too and things like that. I think that's where we're headed, honestly, with the way things are going with AI and everything like that. So
yeah, everything's just I don't know what it's going to take. It's going to take time and some sort of a crash or something in order to get any prices down anymore. But even with like if there was a pullback on AI due to whatever, a crash or just a, you know, people aren't getting what they thought they were going to out of it, like it's tough to get that pricing back down once it's gone up.
Yeah, for sure.
Unfortunately.
Any other tech related things you want to talk about?
No, I need to. I've been using that new laptop I got. When did I get it? About a month ago. I've been using it a little more. Really happy with the decision to buy it, and I have it like its battery life isn't like as great as I was hoping. But I think I could probably make some tweaks to get a little better battery life out of it. But yeah, it's good.
Nice. Yeah, nothing really on my end. Just really busy.
I bought a new lens for my camera the other day.
Oh, nice.
Facebook Marketplace. Yeah, it was only $100. It's like, okay. Because I'm doing some more like photography of my son playing soccer and other stuff. And I had a zoom lens and it just wasn't getting me what I wanted. So this one gives me a little more. It's a little nicer. And it was like brand new with this photographer. Yeah, she's like, I didn't ever use it.
Yeah, when it comes to like photography gear, Facebook Marketplace or like secondhand is really good. And again, you can like kind of inspect the item and make sure it's good.
Yeah. I brought my camera with me to the meetup. I was like, hey, do you mind if I throw this on and take some pictures? And she's like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like I bought with my camera when I initially bought my original Sony, I bought two lenses. I never used one. The one I never used. Yeah. And it's just like the same thing. So yeah, if you're looking for photography stuff, secondhand is really good to find some good deals on that kind of stuff. And PC hardware is the same way.
You can find
really good deals secondhand.
You can buy like a pre-built from somebody that's like 5 years old at this point or 3 years old, and it may have like 32 gigs of DDR5 or like 32 gigs of DDR4 in it, and like the price doesn't match what the market could actually support. So
yeah, for sure. So, well, that is it for the podcast this week. Thanks for Gadget Joe for popping in once again. Yeah. And of course, everybody that listens later, remember, no podcast next week, 500th episode on the 25th. So definitely stay tuned for that. It'll be kind of like a little celebration. So it'll be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that. And we will see everybody then.